Help. Yeah, the whole con survival thing.
Yeah.
I have been going to conventions since about 97 with the very first Albany Anthrocon. They've been all furry except for this one, the one in 2 years ago in Woburn, and then this, which is being a cartoon panel. Although I also have been to one of the Northeast Comic Cons when it was in Wilmington.
Right.
And I've hosted panels before. Generally, I've been to the Northeast. So we're talking New England, New York, Pennsylvania, and so on. It involves some travel, and often, of course, you know, having a room with people and things like that. Mm-hmm. That's a good thing to do. When people want to decide to go to a con, obviously getting a roommate is a good start, and maybe someone to give you a ride share. So some of the, you know, we used to have these things online, room share and ride share for Anthrocon.
Right.
You'd have that sort of thing, bring people in.
Forums or boards.
Yeah, something like a board, right, yeah. There's still similar things to like that. But cons generally grew out of room parties and like just general furry meets or other meets,
right.
Science fiction
right.
meets and so on. For example, we had one in Salem with the North Shore Furries where we just chatted and we did that sort of thing. But getting in on the ground floor of furry conventions, the first Albany Anthrocon, it was called at the time, was maybe 400 or 500 people. We're now close to 10 grand, but we're still not number one. We were number one for a while. Now, Midwest Fur Fest in Chicago is number one. But we are so big, we have 10 hotels and 3 shuttle bus routes, and we take over the city of Pittsburgh. So as far as people attending conventions are concerned, yeah, definitely, of course, check the websites and whatever they've got for Twitter and Twitter, Facebook, Telegram, and so on. It's a good thing to make friends. So if you have some people in the area, make some friends and go, well, what do you think? You want to go to this? Maybe we can room share and all that. And oftentimes there will be a day where they will say the rooms are open. Now for Anthrocon, that used to be on Groundhog Day or close to it, which was actually my birthday. So I guess we already started there a little bit. I was saying, you know, I was just mentioning when getting people together for cons. I actually had a furry came in and he left because we didn't have anyone. But when it comes to booking a hotel and things like that, a lot of cons
That's
will have a certain day.
I have voice. I refuse to use a
Got
microphone.
It?
I have voice.
I don't know if you're going to use microphones or not, but.
I don't know. Are they required for panels?
I personally, when I do a panel, I'd like, even though I've got a pretty powerful voice, I like having a nice microphone, and I tend to record things and things like that. But it doesn't always work, especially if it's a small room.
Yeah.
You could probably get away with not having a mic.
Probably.
But certainly having the projector and having sound and everything is a nice plus.
Last time at Saturday Morning Content,
yep.
The small room, well, actually, we didn't have a microphone. I had speakers in there, too.
Yeah. You had that, and I was able to put my laptop in. And we had sound and everything like that.
I have a better projector, though, this year.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if that's going to have sound, but when I did Furrydelphia a couple weeks ago, this was like for $60. This was a Bluetooth speaker.
Yeah.
I brought it just in case, because with very little sound and not being people waving in here, it's not going to be too much fun. So that's going to work out pretty good. But again, I tend to use microphones, and it depends on the size of the room, but you can have some and get away with not having it. What I was going to mention, though, was when you have a fairly big con, like Anthrocon, they'll pick a day, and then they'll all sign into that and try to book different hotels. And some of them will sell out right away, but have an alternate choice and things like that. And obviously, room sharing is going to save you a lot of money. So certain places that are close to the convention will sell out real quick, but have an alternate choice and do something like that. And again, in the case of Anthrocon, they have shuttle routes, so people can go back and forth. But when you get your room reserved and you make your arrangements with your roommates and things like that, it's also a good idea perhaps to ride share. I was mentioning that a minute or two ago, and get a bunch of people in. You could also do things like Amtrak or a bus or whatever, but you are going to have some people doing that. Again, it all depends, because some cons are just basically in the general area where you live already, so you don't have to worry about it. So when the con comes, it'll be a good time. Of course, the first year you go is always going to be a little confusing. What do I do? Where do I go? Where are the things and things like that? That's why the ever-popular So This Is Your First Con panel came about. Just like the ever-popular con horror stories, which we've done at Furrydelphia and Anthro New England, and you could talk a lot about things like that. But yeah, for a lot of people, this is something brand new. And whether it's cartoon, science fiction, furry, or whatever, it's going to be an interesting experience. But a con panel on So This Is Your First Con is going to be great. It is going to be, you know, some people are going to say, oh, I won't have time for all this stuff. It's okay. Just pick out a couple things. Oh, we're going to have a cruise. Oh, we're going to do this panel. We're going to have a dance competition. You know, just pick a few things and go with it. You guys have run panels, and you know what I'm talking about, you know, with all the different options that are out there. And also the ever-popular, oh, there's two things I want to see, and they're opposite each other.
Yeah,
that's right. That's a pain. It happens, though.
Of course it does.
Yeah.
I think we're ready to start.
Go ahead.
That works great.
So, you know, Bob was kind of covering like what, you know, his experience.
Yeah, we're probably going to reiterate a lot of what you said. But
right. Yeah.
We'll be here. Introducing the panel, and I guess I will use a microphone.
Yeah, use a microphone. Okay, this is actually. Yeah. Great. So, this is going to be nice and intimate. Very very tight knit. But this is Con Survival 101. I am your very humble and handsome master of ceremonies. And this is our con chair, who hopefully knows things about actually surviving cons if he's going to actually start one and continue.
Rule number one, don't start your own con.
Don't start
yeah.
your own con.
Well, that's another panel we've done a lot is how to start your own con, etc. We did that at Furrydelphia 2 weeks ago, yes.
It's hard. It's hard.
But yeah, welcome to Con Survival 101, where we tell you a whole bunch of things that you should know for your con, especially if this is your first, fifth, or 100th, stuff that we need to remind you, and some fun stories we may have of when we broke these rules,
right.
And how they panned out. Because I don't know if you've broken any of these rules, but I certainly have.
So one rule that I feel like most people know that have gone to cons, but I feel like break very, very often is the 6-2-1.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
yeah.
How many here has been to cons before? Okay.
Plenty of them
so
since 97.
You're probably familiar with the 6-2-1
yes.
rule, and no, it's not a popular Anthro website.
Yeah.
6-2-1 simply means 6 hours of sleep per day to full meals per day. Your box of pocky is not a full meal. Two
right.
full meals and one shower. These are important. I once had a year where it became the 0-0 half rule, and I went 49 hours, no sleep, no food, and just quick showers so I didn't stink. Let me tell you, that was the worst game of Would You Rather I've ever played in my life, because it was Would I Rather lie down and had the worst headache in the world, or stand up and want to throw up consistently. So be sure that if you are here, please take care of yourself. Many cons happen every year. Yes, I know they're all exciting. They're all fun to go to. But please take care of yourself. 6-2-1. Some places will say 5-2-1, which is okay too. Just kind of make sure you get some sleep, you eat food, and you take a shower. Because we also have been to cons where, if you've ever heard of a Febreze bomb,
yeah,
they've been unleashed.
because I feel like any time I go to a con, like really, if you skip on the six, if you skip on the two, really that only impacts you. If you skimp on the one, that's when you're going to get other people angry at you.
Especially in the summer and a lot of sweating, going outside
yeah.
and that sort of thing. And again, to deal with furry cons, people in fursuits, they're going to get hot. They also, by the way, are going to have an area to cool off with some water, take their head off, you know, the headless lounge and things like that.
Yeah,
but certainly people, and
that.
Some people, you know, wearing a tail or something like that. But at the very least, everyone should take a shower or a bath once
yeah.
a day at least.
Oh, God, yeah.
Especially cosplaying or fursuiting, both of those can get very hot under the covers and everything. And also goes with the make sure you take rest. One thing that probably should be on hand, make sure you drink a lot of water too.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you're having two full meals, but if you're sitting there not drinking anything, it's just as bad, if not worse.
I want to emphasize the water specifically. I know I'm not good at it, but I should be better at it. Like, water specifically. Like, soda is not water. Tea and coffee are not water. Water is water.
Water.
And someone like me that cranks the air conditioning high, you're going to be dehydrated and you're going to catch a cold.
Yep.
Like the bad one I had a couple weeks ago. And you're going to get con crud coming down with something when you get home. Oh, I caught something from someone.
Yeah, that's, especially at bigger cons, like, just in general, be hygienic. But, like, I think especially for a bigger con, be prepared to catch some of that, because I think that's just going to happen. You're with, especially if you're in these, like, major cons that have, like, tens of thousands of people at them all together.
But in the past couple,
yeah, come on in,
the past couple years, we've learned about sanitizer.
Yeah, it's a magical thing.
But we always use that as kind of our opening rule because of how important it is and because that little two plays into our next thing, which is making sure that throughout your con experience, you have a budget and you know where it's going.
Yeah.
Because some of the most dangerous places at a convention is that vendor hall. And you're like, I have some extra money. Yeah, sure. Let's buy this and let's buy that. And what you want to do is you want to budget and you want to plan accordingly. Make sure you know how much you're paying for the hotel. Make sure you have not only a way that you get here, and if you're already here, congratulations, but make sure you have a way home and a way to pay for how to get home. Because I have been to conventions where someone didn't plan that second pot.
Yeah.
And they were, like, close to home. Like, it was only a half hour. They could pick up an Uber. They were 6 hours away.
I was going to say, because I think I was there for that. Wasn't that in, like, Baltimore?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was exactly it. Someone in Baltimore didn't plan their trip home.
Oh.
Nor had the budget for it because they spent everything in the vendor hall.
Yeah.
That was some kind of interesting.
That. Yeah.
So
we're seeing a lot of cashless places now, like say a ball game, where you have to present a credit or a debit card, and these things add up after a while. The next thing you know, you get $5,000 or $10,000 that you got to pay.
Yeah.
You know, it's so easy to do it now, even for a vending machine, just paying on your it can add up.
But at the same time, those cards can be a godsend, especially if you want to keep to your budget.
Right.
One of the things I'll tell someone is like, get a vanilla Visa. A lot of people will accept credit cards. I mean, there are some artists and stuff that cannot go with credit because
they just don't have
their Wi-Fi or whatever. But I tell people, get a vanilla credit card for your vendor hall and then cash for getting there, getting home, and eating. So that way, when the vanilla card's out, you know you can't spend any more money in the vendor hall.
Yeah.
So that has a set amount on it.
Yeah. You buy a credit card, $200,
right,
and then I think it's like a $5 fee on top of it. But at least you know. You're getting here, you're getting home, and you're feeding yourself.
Yeah, it's a hard lock.
Yeah.
It's really good. When it comes to vendor halls specifically, my personal rule, take a lap or two around first.
Yes.
To, like, get a feel for it. Like, sort of let it sink in of, like, maybe not what you're exactly going to spend, but, like, this is probably in the neighborhood of what I'm going to spend. Like, mentally prep yourself for that.
Yeah, there are some exceptions to the rule.
Some exceptions, obviously.
Those typically happen on Friday when you have like a plushie vendor who may have makes their plushies and you know there's only one of them. So,
yeah.
Things like that. But, yeah.
But the room sharing is huge because do you want to spend 160 at the DoubleTree or 80 or even less if you have 3 or 4? So that's going to save you a whole lot of money. He's my roommate from Anthrocon and some other places, so it's great to pay 80 instead of 160, right, per night.
Of course.
But also, that was the next point I was going to jump on. Make sure that it is a sane number of people. Yes, we do love saving money, so make sure you have enough for the amount of beds that are there that people can be comfortable. Because I'll tell you, there was one time I had a con, and this was, I think, Kineticon. I was heading up all the rooms on that one. And we had 13 people that were interested in going to the con. And I'm like, okay, fine. I reserved 3 rooms for 13 people. And I'm like, all right, it'll be $100 a person. It's perfect. 12 of those 13 people come back to me. I was the 13th one, by the way. And said, can you make it a little cheaper? And I'm like, Okay, so I guess 6 inches per room isn't too bad. So I knocked out one of the rooms. I got six people per room, which would have been 4 in the bed, 2 on the floor, whatever. And I think it came down to like 75 a person, because diminishing returns do happen.
Yeah.
And yes, they asked, could it get cheaper? And I'm like, the only way I'm making it cheaper is if I cram everyone in one room. So I kind of got peer pressured into one room. So now I had 13 people in one room. Let me tell you how miserable that was. I slept in the cot.
Yeah, now, dude.
We got it down to $60 a person. That's nice. And to make things worse, people invited others to sleep in the room. So at one point, there was 15 people sleeping in the room. Hmm. A double occupancy, I could have gotten in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
I doubt they allow more than 5 or 6 in a room.
5 is usually 5. The upper limit. They say 4.
You're talking fire laws.
Sometimes be okay with 5.
Yeah,
but not 15.
They might turn a blind eye to the 5, which is also another huge thing. If you cram that many people into a room, you are almost assuredly breaking some kind of fire code, and mm-hmm. as a result, probably breaking the contract that you signed with the hotel to book a room there in the first place. So just don't.
Yeah.
Just don't do it.
Plus that 6 on that 6-2-1 rule isn't going to happen.
Yeah,
let me
God,
tell you how
no.
uncomfortable and how hot those rooms get. Even with AC full on.
I remember that trip we took. I think this was to New York when you and I were doing, I think it was like Big Apple Con or something down there. But like,
that was unintentional.
We actually, yeah, it wasn't intentional, but we spread it all out. We actually had like 3 to 4 people to a room, and it was great. But then we were just like messing about. Like, we were just having fun, and I think like 10 or 11 of us slept in a room that was meant for one person.
So, yeah, this was at a New York convention, which these hotel rooms were smaller than the average hotel room.
Like, super small.
It was probably 2/3 the size of what you have here, if you have a hotel here. Just to give you a perspective, there was barely any room. But I had 4 to a room. Now, lucky me, I decided to be the center room. And I tend to be the life of the party at times. So we're all laughing our ass off in this center room while the 2 other rooms are just like sitting there. Next thing I know, I have the other 2 rooms emptying into our room saying, can we hang out in here? It sounds more fun. To the point where, yes, 9 people fell asleep in that room because we were just going that long in this 2/3 size double occupancy.
I think air quote around like fell asleep in that room. It was so uncomfortable. It was so hot.
It was.
Because you have 9 of us sardined together. Like, we're all sharing that body heat. It was miserable.
And because it was in the middle of the room, we couldn't bug either of the side rooms to get a noise complaint or anything.
Yeah, couldn't do anything.
So we didn't know 4 or 5 in the morning and people just conked out. Yeah, that was fun. But
we did get a noise complaint, though. So. Like from one of the other rooms when we were just messing around. We did get a noise complaint.
But not with 9 of us.
Not with 9 of us in the room, no. But
we
still...
Are you sure that... I know we've gotten collectively at least 3 noise complaints.
Yeah, somewhere in the neighborhood.
One of them was they thought we were slamming the door too hard. And this was like 6 in the afternoon or something while we were unpacking our car. One of them, we were just getting too excited about a Pathfinder game.
Which is fair.
Yeah, that was on us.
That one's actually fair.
And then one was 4 of us doing that really bad Google website.
Yeah, that one that one. We should not bring
yes.
up.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's a website that'll translate words into something that's a little derogatory, so I'm not going to really say it, but we were having too much fun with it, especially when we got to the Declaration of Independence.
Was the Declaration? I thought it was the Constitution.
No, it was the Declaration of Independence.
Okay.
Yeah, that was fun.
And sometimes, of course, a con hotel will sell out. They will have a backup hotel.
Yes.
In my case with Furidelphia, they had it at a casino, and the room sold out right away. They had to do it by phone. And I think quite a few of people that were not furries, but they were gamblers, take them. So I had to go 3 miles away to a different hotel, and I went back and forth. It wasn't too bad, but... If there's a backup hotel, great. If not, I don't know,
yeah.
Just do what you can.
Yeah.
And hotels are weird when it comes to connecting versus not connecting. That is something I had to learn over time, and some I don't exactly have like a direct thing to, because sometimes, yes, the further hotels are the cheaper ones, but they're not connected to the con.
Yeah.
And at the same time, if you're at the convention, you don't have a place to escape. So I usually, for the first year, try to tell people, get the connecting con rooms, especially where it is your first con, and you don't know how you're going to react. Because if you need a way to escape, or
if you
something,
need to disengage.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is always great just having it right there, because then you can re-engage quicker than if you take something that was
if you have
a 15-minute drive. Because if you take a 15-minute drive away, you're less likely to want to come back. Plus, who knows what the parking situation looks like. It gets ridiculous. So I tell everyone, if you can, get the connecting hotel so you can take your breaks if you need to, especially where a con can be overwhelming. It really can be. Like, this one is a very small, put-together, quaint one with low attendance, which is fine. But then you start talking hotels like places like, I think AnthroCon is 3,000 to 4,000.
Attendance? Almost 10,000.
It is up to 10,000.
We're second to Midwest Fur Fest.
Yeah,
Midwest Fur Fest is about 11, and we're about 10.
Yeah,
we used to be
Midwest
number one, now we're number two.
Just took it, yeah. So you start getting 10,000, then you get like PAX, which is, I think, 100,000, and Gen Con, which is 30,000, and who knows what
else. Gen Con is easily double that. Gen Con is like...
Isn't the one in San Diego like 100,000 or San Diego Comic Con?
Yeah.
I think the biggest anime con is A-Con with 125,000. So you start taking a look at these. So that is another thing. Go to cons that you're comfortable with their attendance. There are several websites you could visit. AnimeCons.com, FanCons.com, PonyCons.com. Yes, we're having a little bit of a thing here. They will give you the information of the con. A lot of times they'll show you the running attendance. If you're like, oh my God, 5,000 people sounds scary to me, but I can deal with 500, that works. Like around here, I think AAC, another anime con, that one, and that's literally its name, another anime con, they run around 800. They're good if you want a nice, quaint, smaller anime con versus Anime Boston at 30,000, you know? So ease yourself in, or if you're really like want to dive in, go in for the 150s, but yeah, you kind of research your cons. Look at what you want. That way your first con isn't overwhelming, isn't scary, and then makes you not want to go again. Because conventions are awesome for the fact of making friends, meeting people who have the same exact interests as you. You can get caught up into it so easily, but sometimes you can also get overwhelmed by it.
Yeah, and actually, on that note, it reminds me of the story of my first con, which I made that exact mistake, because I was a small, cloistered, antisocial child of like 15, 16, somewhere around there. Went to my first con. My first con was AB. My first con was Anime Boston. That's like, I was going to say, that's tens of thousands of people. It was just, I had a miserable experience with it because I was just so overwhelming. It was way too big for my first con. It's just, I couldn't do it. I could not do it. So if I would say, and this is a blanket rule, obviously apply, you know, where it seems fit. I mean, we're all con goers, so this is...
You are officially, if you're here, you're a con goer.
I mean, yeah.
If it's your first or your 100th.
But I would,
my 100th.
I would say for, like, your first con, I would say in attendance no greater than, like, 2,000.
Yeah.
That's
based off of what you... Because my very first con was 14,000. That was... Ohio Origins. Yeah, and I did fine, but that's because I knew I was extroverted and could be with a crowd, no problem. But no, it's not the same for everyone, obviously.
Yeah.
So.
And for Apocalypse in Connecticut and Furrydelphia, which was in Valley Forge, it's going to be in downtown Philly, about 1,500. We had a great time. It was in a certain area. You know, we had enough room. And for 1,500, that wasn't too bad. It's not like you're going to AnthroCon with close to 10.
So you heard us maybe earlier, this is going to be another segue into something.
Yes.
You heard us say earlier, cosplay and fursuits. Something that we like to kind of key in on, because the things on these are a little important as well. Knowing the the culture around it, but also like the rules around when you have cosplays and everything. I mean, obviously you yourself, it's awesome if you can get into it. Cosplaying, for those who don't know, is basically just dressing up as one of your favorite characters from an anime or a cartoon or whatever. But they do kind of come with their own set of rules, whether you are the cosplayer or you're the one who wants to, enjoys seeing some of the cosplays that are in, that are how they made their craft, whether it's someone who kind of put something together really fast at a Salvation Army or someone who put a lot of work into it, be sure to respect those cosplayers as well. One thing that we always say, if you like something up and want to take a picture of it, ask the cosplayers. Yep. Don't just from far away start taking pictures or anything. The only time that's fine is if you're trying to like get a wide angle shot of like an entire thing of where they're not the focus. But if you're trying to sneak peek, it is kind of frowned upon in the convention community.
Yeah.
Plus, if you ask them, a lot of times they're excited. They love to hear people wanting to take pictures, and they'll even pose for you. They'll do all kinds of things.
They'll do the crazy.
I'm telling you right now, you will get 100 times better picture asking them and then posing for you with everything, because you can take time, focus it a little, and actually take the perfect shot, rather than just trying to take a few quick clicks while they're walking by. And this does kind of key into something we're going to get on a little bit of a serious note with cosplay. The thing you will always hear at every convention, cosplay is not consent. Just because somebody's cosplay can't get a little, that is not an invitation for anything.
No.
All right. No. Still respect everyone as if they're in just plain clothes. Something that we hate that we have to bring it up, but we always reminder, but a firm reminder.
It's got to be said.
Yeah.
Also, if you yourself are cosplaying, again, let's cycle back to that 621. That one's going to be super important for you because you're probably wearing the same thing all weekend.
And if you are cosplaying and everything and you don't feel comfortable, don't be afraid to tell staff or whatever. You always have someone you could go to.
Yeah. And some cons are actually, like, we're seeing in more recent years, some cons are getting a lot better about that. They'll give you, like, a little thing with your badge and be like, you can hang out with me.
BronyCon's amazing for that.
BronyCon's great for that.
Yeah, they had three badges of three colors, green, yellow, red. Green, please talk to me. I would love to hear it.
That's interesting, yeah.
Talk to me.
It's real good.
If you know me, proceed with caution. Red, I need to go somewhere. I'm trying to hit a destination, and if you stop me, it's not going to end well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really cool how they had that.
Didn't Arisia adopt a similar thing a couple years back? I want to say they did.
I want to say, I know Arisia has the pronoun.
They do have the pronoun things to stick on your badge, which I also really like.
A lot of cons are adopting things to kind of get with the times, as it will. Because
First shooters will often have a handler to guide them around and things like that. Yeah. And keep in mind, they can only see like this, because of their head, they've got very limited.
This is especially true for fursuiters, because their field of vision is just in front of them, nothing else, zero peripherals. Some cosplayers may have, if they have masks or something, their peripherals will get all messed up.
Yeah.
In that case, in the case of a fursuiter, they may have someone walking them around, making sure everything's good. That is a handler. Feel free to chat with them as well and ask them if it's okay, you know, converse with anyone. Because some of them, I know there are some cosplayers and fursuiters that go really hot and will do, like if they're playing a new character, they won't talk to you.
Yeah,
that's what they have the handler for.
Yeah, that's another big thing is like some cosplayers will like commit.
Yeah.
They will do the entire thing like in character, and it's cool, it's rad.
Yeah, fursuiters will do the same thing. This isn't a FurCon, but if you ever do go to a FurCon, which are awesome, I recommend going to FurCon 101 because fursuiters have a lot of signals. Like, they're getting too hot, or if they say they want to take a picture or a hug or something, they have signals. I'm not privy to them all, but I at least know enough that I can make sure no one gets hurt. So... All right, so I think we covered a lot at the con. Now, what about after the con? So, there's this thing we also
you bringing up PCD.
Don't like to discuss.
Of course we are.
Called post-con depression. It happens. It happens to a lot of us. Be prepared, especially if you've had a lot of fun on your first con.
Yeah.
Post-con depression is a thing, and it's a thing it's mostly in the convention community, but it is just, you've had so much fun and you're already missing the con. If it comes up, we do always have recommendations on how to battle it. First one being, converse with the friends that you've made.
Yeah.
You know, talk about the con, have some fun, some good laughs, stories to tell. Stop planning for the next one. It's never too late to stop planning for a con, especially if you had fun and you're like, you know what, this cosplay was so cool, I want to do that.
I'm gonna sneak in here real quick because, man, I'll be real, I've been kind of dealing with that because obviously we're still dealing with the aftermath of 2020, the year we wish we could all forget. That's 100% fair. You and I have not been to Gen Con in several years, and that the first year it was kind of fine. I wasn't super happy about it, but it was for a good reason, obviously, we didn't go. Then they did it, then, you know, obviously it came up this year, and it was like, maybe we shouldn't just be safe. And I'm like, yeah, that's probably a good reason, but I'm dealing with a lot of that, of like, I want to go to Gen Con real bad. But to be fair, I can talk to you, I can talk to Dan, I can talk to Kenny. And then, like, Gen Con is just a board game convention. I just play more board games, and that's how I get through it. But that's a very real example, at least for me.
Yeah, don't let it get you down. Let it get you excited for next year.
Get hyped.
Yeah. But I think that's a lot of what to know. Anyone have anything
they
would...
anyways.
That you think we may have missed, or have a story of your own on when you broke one of these fun rules?
Share your shame.
Give everyone a heads up of what's due at 2 in the morning if Munchies come to town?
No.
Because just about the only thing you're going to find to eat at about that time, if you haven't prepared, is whatever they have over at the little snack shop.
That is very true.
So yeah. If anyone tends to eat late, I suggest making sure you get your orders in to wherever. You might get lucky with the DoorDash. Can't guarantee it.
That is a very good point.
I'm going to save some of this and have it later on because I'm not going to finish this whole pizza and, you know, something like that.
Making sure I have at least little snackies around.
I mean, we sort of covered it with
the
two.
We covered 6-2-1 because we say 2 field meals and at worst case scenario, so you're a little hungry at night.
But yeah, I mean, that is a good point to extrapolate on is like, unless you're bringing your own food, which comes with its own, you know, like things to be prepared with. Mm-hmm. You're making a good point. I'm not going to be able to walk down to like the local sandwich place at like 2:30 in the morning.
Unlike something like Anthrocon, where you're downtown, there's places open late, there's all sorts of chances and things like that to get food.
Yeah.
It depends where you are. It depends on what's available. The restaurants here or something like that, I think for breakfast and lunch, it's a takeout only or something and to your room.
Yeah,
so
I ran into that a little bit earlier because I'm like, oh, I should eat lunch and I can't.
I wound up going down the street to get that. So.
That was smart. So.
We had a little time. Do we have any fun con stories?
You would have more than
cons,
I would.
Worst cons, miserable cons.
God, I mean, one of my best cons, I know I brought it up earlier, but like that first year I went to Gen Con, that was great. But I also stayed up for like 48 hours straight just playing games and occasionally eating.
At least you got the eating in.
No, I did, but like I got the 2 of the 6-2-1. I didn't get the 6 of the 1. And at that point, it becomes what, a 12-4-2. So I got 2 of the 4, and then I got 0 of the 12 and the 2.
Oh,
so
man.
I was doing great. I was destroyed. You saw me after that. Like I was demolished.
Tetsukan 9 and Tetsukan 9.1. The reason there was a Ketchikan 9.1 was because somebody decided to dump 25 inches of snow on Virginia in the middle of Ketchikan. Turned a 3-day con into a 5-day con.
Oh, rad.
I was working security for this one.
I'm so sorry.
How did they do the panels and stuff for that? Did they just stop rerunning panels?
Probably.
No, they closed the convention.
Oh.
Because they were only contracted for so much time, They had to close the official convention. The hotel was forced to keep everybody in-house because everything was closed. The roads were closed, the streets were closed. So what ended up happening was the attendees passed the hat, got together enough money to rent a size conference room, maybe about this size.
Yeah.
At what I later found out was a good discount, but you know, still, it was the fans chipping in the money, pulled it all together. The guests were stuck there right along with everyone else, so they just went right down and set up. You know, and you had, instead of having a room that had a panel, you had in the corner, you had a screen corner. You had a corner where you know, you had people signing autographs. You had a corner that were doing this and that. Everyone, jeez, everything shrunk.
Man, it's like DashCon if it was successful.
And, one of the artist journals that was down there for it actually made up 9.1 badges for anyone that stuck it out to 9.1.
That's right.
That is great.
I love that.
We were at the point, our equipment was so that we were at the top of the floors of the hotel because convention security was touring the hotel at night, because this was back in the glory days of 24-hour activity with the conventions, with things like screening rooms, game rooms, and stuff like that.
All that good stuff.
Going all the way, you know, 24 hours a day. So what they would do is, on the overnight, we'd walk through the floors, because occasionally, you know, you'd have somebody would have a party in the room, and it wasn't that we were there to cause a ruckus or anything. We weren't there to lay down the law. We were there to go, hey, just to give you guys a heads up, we can hear you, and if we can hear you, that means when their security guy comes through, he's going to hear you, or the guy two doors down is going to hear you. So you can just do us a big favor.
Yeah.
Keep the noise down, and then you move on your merry way. And that was, but while we're doing these patrols, our equipment, we're using these Brett walkies that are so bad that we get a Rover Wonder Base. Can you repeat that, please? Rover Wonder Base?
Of course.
Did you want fries with that? excuse me? McDonald's drive through, how can I help you?
Yeah.
This was not base that we were communicating with. We were literally reaching the nearby McDonald's drive-thru. They had people stuck in there too.
Wow.
So
we're gonna make new friends with
McDonald's. I was gonna say, did you find out why the ice cream machine was broken? Did you discover the trade secret?
No, the comment was, if you want ice cream, go outside. Yeah. 25 inches of snow, you can make your own ice cream.
Now, actually.
Yeah,
just won the lawsuit.
It's true. It's true, actually. That's very pertinent.
Now, also, that having been said, a little idea that I wouldn't want to take and spread too far, because we all know that officially there's no food vending in the hotel that isn't licensed, etc., etc.
Absolutely not.
That said, when Ketchikan 9 ended, so too did the largesse of the hotel that was hosting it. It was also last year that hotel was hosting it. They decided, since they couldn't get any more money from renting the rooms, and because they were being generous with the meeting room, that they were going to make it all back at the restaurant. The cheapest thing on the menu was a $7 bowl of soup.
No.
I didn't have to worry about it because staff all did the same thing. Charge it to the con. That said, that didn't help for the attendees. Now, if anyone here been in a diehard, a really heavy anime con?
Yeah.
What is one thing that you will always see at least one person running around with?
Hockey, ramen.
You got it.
And ramen A if they sell it, and sometimes mochi.
Insert five-letter Japanese treat.
$5. Imagine getting $5 for a cup noodle. They were getting $5 a piece for cup noodle.
That doesn't shock me.
That is awful.
That, honest to God, it reminds
me. Those are like $3 for $2 at any sane supermarket.
$3 for $2?
At a sane one, like Stop and Shop. $3 for $1 if you go to Market Basket.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I'm going to go on, $5 for $1?
Yeah.
There was, oh God, this was when LeakyCon came to Boston, but there's a...
LeakyCon's a Harry Potter con.
It's great, it's super fun. But there's these guys that have gotten together and have made what they refer to as snitch witches, which is great. I love them. They can't technically sell it at convention centers because it's food. Technically,
yeah.
They're not allowed to do that. They found some way to like work around it. They've gotten some people to turn blind eyes. I don't know what the story is. All I know is that I saw them there and it was great.
Free food, give a donation.
It was, yeah, I think that's what they did. I think it was just a donation.
That's the way you do it. Is,
yeah.
You don't sell the food, you sell the back of cannon.
Yeah.
That's...
But I think the thing I love most about that in particular, because all it is a peanut butter sandwich at its core. A sandwich is truly much more, because after a peanut butter sandwich is made, they cram it as much as they can. Like, they take this sandwich and crush it into, like, a tiny ball. They tell you to go around to the other window, which is just the other side of their booth, and they will try and throw this thing into your mouth so you can catch it. It's great. It's so good. I was not brave enough to try it. I, honest to God, regret it.
Oh,
man. Right. See, I go to SeaWorld and watch as there are performers that do that type of trick to grab food. I don't do it myself.
Well, we got nothing else. I think we are just about getting time.
It's 3:30.
Yeah, it's like 3:30.
3:33, and I need to be somewhere by 3:45. So I'm hitting time. If you want to keep talking.
I mean,
Unless anyone else has any on the story they want to run through.
I'm sitting in here until I host a panel at 4. So, like, I'm chill to just sit here and talk to people.
I got about 5 minutes.
You know, why not? Have you even brought up any, like, what is your favorite convention story? Because, like, you have a lot, but I don't think you've actually said what your favorite is yet.
I have no idea. I've been to over 100 cons.
Well, then throw a dart.
I don't know.
Figure it out. Putting you on the spot. I'm absolutely going to put this pressure on you.
Right? All I can think of is the worst con I've ever been to.
Well, then,
that wasn't
then pivot that. Then pivot.
Worst con I've been to was...
Oh, wait, was that Fiesta?
Yes, there's a question.
Yeah, it was.
In Houston, Texas, when everything can possibly go wrong, because it went terrible, anywhere from... So I was a vendor for that con, and... So, getting there was annoying because of the fact that there was a backup at Logan Airport, like I wouldn't believe. I got there 2.5 hours early, and I guess the person in front of me happened to be bringing a tin of cookies, which you'd think would be fine, except they did that little swab thing and put in the bomb detector, and it came up red. So they had to have a manager check it out. That would have been fine. I'm not taking almost an hour for a damn manager. And it was literally an hour of just hearing, manager at 6, manager at 6. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, can we go? You're making us late. And their response was, you should have got here earlier. I'm like, how much earlier that you had to wait here? So I barely made the flight. Like, they saw me running and they're like, this might be him, this might be, you were so lucky we were just about to close the doors. So there was that. Get to Houston, find whatever, try to get to into my hotel. Someone forgot to put my name on the damn hotel and I couldn't get in touch with them. So now I have to wait around, whatever. Someone who I needed to pick up from the, or not who I needed to pick up, one of my roommates landed, and they figured out that I had a rental car, so they're like, oh, can you pick me up? Fine. So I go down to the Houston airport, and I'm trying to find him. It's like, okay, where are you? I'm at baggage check two. And I'm like, I'm at baggage check two. Then we're trying to find another landmark. How about, I don't know, are you at Terminal A? Yeah, I'm at Terminal A. And I'm going through the whole, all the motions until I finally just got annoyed with everything and I look up and I see Cathedral and I'm like, go to the damn church. There's got to be only one damn church in this whole place. Meanwhile, I'm in the middle of Texas yelling this out. So as I pass by like one of those customer service stands, I go to her, I'm like, please tell me there's only one church in this place. They're like, yeah. I'm like, well, thank God, I'm trying to find my friend. And then the very next question from her is like, which airport is he at? They're like, Houston. Yeah, which airport? There was two airports in Houston. Houston's so
big.
Yep,
like Chicago has O'Hare
airports.
Airway.
Yeah, so yep. He was an hour and a half away.
Oh.
Needless to say, he took an Uber, paid $100 for the Uber at the time that Uber wasn't short staff. Mm. And I'm coming back after, oh my God. Oh. So it was that.
You didn't tell me about the $100 Uber.
Oh yeah, he had to pay $100. That was miserable. Gross. So we're like, okay, fine, things will be better. I go into the vendor hall and I find out where the vendor hall is. So let's see. Everyone knows the tent outside, I think, would be a good indicator. You know the tent that's right out front? So pretend this is the main event, that tent was the vendor hall. You had to go through half the building, walk out of the building, and then walk into a new building for the vendor hall. Not a good recipe for anything. So I'm like, okay, this is great. We set up in the vendor hall. Then Thursday night, sleep. Friday morning, we wake up. There was a break-in, the vendor hall. I think 7 stands got hit, one of them being mine. They destroyed my cash box and took a bunch of shirts. Yeah, that was fun. And then the day proceeded that only 3 people showed up in the vendor hall because no one knew it was there. There was 300, 400, 500 people in attendance. 3 people in the vendor hall. Great. So after that fiasco, we go in, we complain about it. We're like, you know what, Saturday will probably be better. There was a break-in Friday night. Yeah, that would be the second one. They didn't learn from their first one. And Saturday, a total of 5 people came in. It was miserable. And that was it. That was basically the whole weekend. At one point, they shut down one of the doors. The door closest to the convention, mind you. They shut down one of the doors because they were short staffed. So anyone who did finally find that building, the vendor hall was closed. They made a U-turn. Worst con ever. Lost over $1,000 getting to that. And you would think with 500 people, you would have made some money. No, the only money I made were 2 of the 5 people and other vendors who are also good shit about this.
So,
but I will say one good thing came of it. I made 2 really awesome friends who, from here on in, we just went to every con there. So there was some silver lining, but my God, worst con ever.
So if you need advice how to run a con, not bad.
Yes.
Like, at all.
Not bad.
Not even close.
The incorrect answer.
Yeah,
although
that was there last year, surprisingly.
Yeah. You said something in that story that actually reminded me of a story that we share that I love to tell. Not that. You're so professional.
Jesus.
No.
No one from the con? Don't care.
You're rad. So I will lead up, but I will let you close it because you know where the story goes. So you and I were doing Everfree Northwest a couple years back. And this isn't necessarily a con story, because this didn't happen during con hours. We like Rob was vending and I was helping him out. And we're like, hey, let's go get dinner. Like people do. So the two of us go, and one of the other guys that was in our hotel room, Austin, came with us, because he was a vendor that was also there, and we just ended up sharing a room. We were like, cool, this sounds like fun. We'll just wander over to, like, this little, like hometown diner, basically. Nothing crazy, nothing fancy. But we go over to, we walk in, and immediately to our left there's this thing that I, in all my years, had not seen, which you immediately got very excited about.
Because I've seen them, they're just rare.
Yeah, that's where I'm gonna hand it off.
So these things were called pull tabs. And for anyone who gambles or been to a vendor hall, they're like scratch tickets, only instead of you scratching anything, you pull this little cardboard piece off, and it'll tell you if you're up one or not. So I, being excited, whip out $5, and these things are like a quarter each. I give them, like, I forgot how much I give you two. But
I think you gave Austin and I $2 each, and you left $1 for yourself.
we were just going to be like, yeah, get some full times, this would be great. And my thing was, whatever we won, we would split with the table. Or we would put towards the bill, I should say.
Yep.
So they get a bunch of tickets. I buy my three or four that I could. And we sit at the table, do our initial drink orders and everything. And they're pulling these tabs, and they don't know how to select anything for the life of them, because every one of them, they didn't even win a quarterback or anything. It was
no, brutal. We got nothing. We got so absolutely nothing. We each burned through the $2 you gave us, got nothing.
So me being the butt that I am, because I tend to be I tend to be that way. I'm like, guys, you don't know what you're doing. I'm like, no, how are you supposed to do it? It's pull like this and win like this. Like I'm just being a jerk, to be a jerk. And I'm pulling and I'm losing just as much. So
just
you know,
spoiler.
Egg on my face. Then I get to the last one. Pull them. $100 winner. Now when I say hometown diner, the normal bill should have been $30, maybe $40 for the table. Prime rib dinners all around.
Yeah,
and
prime
shakes
rib.
All
we
around.
Got milkshakes. Like
we got that bill to $99.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, right? Because you messed up the story slightly because we weren't even seated at the table yet. When you got that, we didn't put drink orders and we didn't do anything. You pulled that, and then we all just decided to go ham. We all just decided to find the most expensive thing on the menu that we wanted and went that.
Yeah.
Just because we could.
We nearly spent $100, and my only thing afterwards was, you guys are paying for the tip.
It was, which we happily did. But I still remember the tab came out to $98.99.
It was that
close. We almost hit that $100 mark dead right here.
Oh my god, that was a blast.
That was great. That's one of my favorite con stories.
And there's only like $400 winners in a stack of 1,000 or 2,000
something like that
tickets. So
it was a lot. Like the fact that you swung that was my god.
Reminds me of one that happened so long ago, I couldn't even tell you what town we were on our way to.
Oh, let's go.
Three of us.
Okay.
Me, my brother, friend of ours, driving out to the convention.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those cases, we're showing up at, like, dead of night. We know we're going to get there at, like, dead of night.
Yep.
No, I'm sorry. My bad. We were actually planning on getting there just in time for the start that morning. I have to flip that. You'll understand where the confusion comes from in a minute.
Okay.
Because we're driving along, and we have plenty of time. We stop off, go on the way, run the pop shop, and they have scratch tickets.
Hey.
All right. I don't indulge. They each figure out, we'll grab a couple. We're driving along. Scratching. Nothing. $100 winner.
Hey, that's what $100 you want.
Winner. So we're going to take and pull over at the next gas station. At least confirm it. Right, so he takes it in. He's like, yeah, I got this. Walks in. And the guy scans the thing to find out if it's winner. And we have great news. And we have not so good news. The great news is it was a winner. The better news is it wasn't $100, it's a $400.
That's what you want.
Yeah, and that's when we figured, okay, we're covering, we know who's covering dinner tonight. Only problem is, because we're now stuck at that gas station for about 12 hours as they try to earn $400 to pay us, because when they scanned the thing, they had already redeemed it.
And they didn't have the funds
to pay.
It was
a day of the convention, cooling our heels. That's why I was confused at the beginning, because I ended up showing up at the place at middle of the morning.
You didn't get out until the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. Oh my god,
that's
grand.
I like that a lot. Oh well. But I have to, Jim, because I need to cover.
Yeah, you got to.
Yeah, it's quarter four.
You have to go.
Yeah, they have to.